This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, independent campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs and our website.
Okay, wishing you good life.
Kwee-kwee.
Yo week sis.
Tanet e negatta kote.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Okay, nistuni tani kuna to ipita numkhtu to tatsiki tapi. Nisto siksi keksi tapi. Nitse tapi. Welcome to Words and Culture. I'm your host, Eugene Braverock. Well, this is it, the final episode of the Blackfoot episodes. So thankful and blessed to have the opportunity to go home and share time and space with my elders, to listen, not just with my ears, but with my spirit. Every word they share isn't just a story. It's memory, it's identity, it's life itself being passed forward. Through this project and the Yuki Language Project, which I am a founder of, these moments become something more than moments. They become medicine. They become a bridge between where we've been and where we're going. I don't take that lightly. To sit, to learn, to carry, and to share, that is responsibility. That is honor. That is everything.
Well, first, I'll introduce myself. Istoan na ko ka matskukituk na aksa ni tenepska api kanibatansta na jinska asusong mitskas ang sayo kaya no uksitska uki kaya ni uksi ni chip uksi ni tukkan ni siwa. Kamulo at stoy ni kikisi puso. Siksikay si tapiwa. Manste uy. Machi si tsiwa sa kakini. Ni si puso. Kaila wa no pati tsiwa manste uy. Skapi pikani. Patu si pikani. O kikisikikawa. No kate na kukukisi. Kenya yung uktaw nuts pinanakia. Aso kanya amo manste kuy pa kisiksikay ko ke amo manste kuy pa kaena ke abskapi pikani so manste si machi chichiwa chani chi umi manse skini mas katu pa iksai kucha itak sam chawa misto na kai nukai supuya pai chi. Kaya pa kisiksikay ko sinaki kanya nisto niya ni Anistay. Okay, di matas ni pa kain na ko. Skapi pika ni kipika ni taon ni. Ni taon ni. Ako ka kumansas ka ni matso katupuawan ko ka. Iksay ko sa mga. Tagsang sawa. Miskawaso kutumya ni po sinya. Okay, kston na to tutama piwaki. Ako kasini sa akin. Ni tay uyu. Sa akin so sa pichi na tuwa. Ah, sa kay ta pichi ni ksisi. Kam sa iskini ni ki. Na kay so kuya pa ichi. Ay, iska ay ksim maka. Iko ma kay ta piya mukse. Ay, matumia ka na yung kits ta pi man stay. Ok, ni kai tau ta chi ma ya. Ni te ku ya wa ni si ka pi ku. Ni kai ma chi chi wa ai ai ma chi ya wo chi spai ku ex man stay. Ken stay. Si ko ku chi. Ma tu pi wa ki stu no ki pa ta pi si na kai ma tu stu ku ki chi. Ha mu chi ma ni ta pi sa ki a si ta pi ku ke chi. What is the name of one? Kistununa, Nidapstunazi. Aya, good spanish by the pio. Iguaka, the pia, makia. Get him. Mantas tinim ya. Oke. Kya tak sama cissa na kini ta stanna tu tu ta ma biwa ki. Akas kini kisi ite ni si uks. Oke ni tak sapi. I want to speak English just to kind of translate myself. I talked about the importance of our language, knowing about, you know, understanding. I started off by introducing myself. My name, he wrote back, that's my name, Mats Kitope. My great-great-grandfather, Bobtail Chief, named me that. He died in 1963, so it was about a year and a half just before he died. When he gave me that name. And that was from a war exploit he had against the Crees. His other name was Nidanabs, Lone Medicine Fighter. He also knew him as Api Gun, Stabby Road. And then Tsisi, Octave Chief. But that old man was the one that named him. That's when he raided the Crows and took some horses. But the reason why he called me, he rode back, was when he was chasing those horses out of that Crow camp, he saw a gray horse tied to a lodge. So he swung around and rode back down the trail. And the Crows were attacking. He rode through them and cut that horse loose from that teepee. That was that man's prized horse. Jumped on that gray horse, really fast horse. He ran back through them again. And they couldn't hit it. They were shooting and everything. They couldn't hit it. And that gray horse, he rode it into camp, pushing with other horses that he had taken from the Crow. So my dad was given the name Gray Horse Rider because of that. It wasn't, had nothing to do with Akukatsuma, Mitsukina, because of that. I got the name he wrote back. Because of what he did. And I believe in that name because, you know, in my career, I've been shot at, I've been a lot of things, but I've never been hit with a bullet. They've gone by my head, they've shot my mic right off my shoulder, everything, but I was never hit. You know, the significance of it was that, you know, it was a warrior name, and that's something that a lot of people don't understand because, and that's what I talked about in my Blackfoot. I talked about how our young people, these young kids, seem to emulate other cultures and never really looked at what our culture is about. So, I mean, we see a lot of these, this emulation of other cultures. And they never stopped to realize that Siksikai, the Blackfoot Confederacy, the Blackfoot culture, no matter where I go, I can say I'm from the Bloods of a Blood Indian because I was born there. But wherever I go with other cultures in the world, even in the Indian world, they never call me a North Blackfoot or Pagan or anything. They always call me Blackfoot. Because well, that's who we all are, Siksikai, the Blackfoot Confederacy. Just that we gave ourselves labels later on. Apaetapi. That's the word for Bloods or Akaene. Yeah. You know, that was the word, but the translator got it wrong when he used that term, because Apau means those weasels, those white ermines. And the Bloods at that time always wore the white buckskin weasel tail suits. And they said, yeah, Apau, he's a kind of, you know, it's like a, you know, ermine skin, like a weasel. You know, glow in the sun, they're white. So that's the term somebody mistranslated and said they're blood Indians. But it could be another term where, because of, you know, all Blackfoot, and notably the Bloods were very proud, so they would spill blood pretty quick, eh? That's one of the theories. But the main story I kind of start to believe is that it's supposed to mean the weasel tail people, you know, the weasel people, right? So, I mean, when we look at it that way, you know, that was a mistranslation. But you see a lot of these young people, they don't understand, you know, the importance of language. Language is important, and that's what I said when I said it in the Blackfoot, our language. When I was going to university, taking ethnology and anthropology, one of the things was the language component. They had talked about the fact that when a language is lost, the worldview is lost. Mm-hmm. We lose who we are. You can never fully comprehend or understand the ceremonies unless you know the language. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. And people don't understand that, or they don't appreciate the importance. What impresses me the most is when I see these young people addressing, like that young girl that addressed the UN on water. Mm-hmm. She spoke in Anishinaabe, but that's how she started. And then she talked about it. Mm-hmm. And she made more of a valid point. But they didn't give her the exposure she needed. Yet, you know, she should have gotten a Nobel Prize in the environment. But then a white girl by the name of Greta Thunberg comes up there, and all she does is make faces and tell these politicians, how dare you? If it was a native girl that said that, they probably would have had her handcuffed and tossed out. But they didn't do that for her. It's all about optics. And with our own people, you know, sometimes we have to put ourselves in those optics, but push the language.
So with you said that we lose that worldview, or we lose that, our worldview with our language, yeah, right? So what are some words that right now, I mean, I'm curious, I know a couple words, but you can't explain them in English.
No.
Did you know a couple of those words? Like,
well, there's words that it's really hard to explain. It all depends on the context you use. Mm-hmm. You know, boy, that's puawa. Igupuapsi, that person, igupuapsi, meaning they're very mean. They're very, they're like, you know, cruel. And puawi taksin is, for lack of a term, it's more like to think in a cruel way, to think in a very negative way. That's one word, but yet, you know, it has so much meaning because it's used in so many different applications and contexts. Mm-hmm. That
it changes.
Yeah, it changes. And that's what people need to start understanding. And they need to really, really work at, again, the optics. Mm-hmm.
I was sitting with Dale Lowhorn.
Yeah.
And I asked him, we're talking about optics and how we're translating or how we're taking it in. So even the word okki, I said, how come okki sounds like okki? What is the meaning? Why is there a connection?
Yeah.
He said, well, okki, that's water, because that's what gives life.
Yeah.
So when you're saying okki, you're wishing them good life. It's not hello.
No.
Nowadays, that's what hello translates to, right?
Yeah. That's an old term, okki. You know, and that's what it means, to give life. And even me, when I'm not catching myself talking like the old guys from old times, you know, again, that word, it's hard to translate because it's used as an opening. It's used as something, you know, you're giving life to this conversation. Mm-hmm. When they say that. At least that's my thought. You know, like anything else, there's always going to be somebody out there. I got some boy, ducky. That rock scout, he's full. But I don't care. I know what I say. I know, you know, and I know what I have and where I can look at things. You know, even the term Shikapistan, they think it means black, but it's not. It's when you take things and you put them all together and you tie them up.
Mm.
And then you give them to someone. You're giving it away. You know, that's my offerings. That's what I gave you. But yet at the same time, another word, it gets stuck. When you put it up, when you make an offer, it's the same thing, but two different things. One is to give, to get something, and the other one is you put it up for nabinatusi. So, but they both mean the same thing.
Mm.
You look at these different values and how things are put together, but bottom line is that eventually people are not going to know it anymore. They're not going to understand it. Every time we lose an old time, we lose just that much more of our people. And pretty soon, we're going to be like some of these other cultures who had to reinvent themselves. Because in their foolishness or in their effort to gain, to be accepted and to fit in a white world, we sacrificed our culture and our language.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to pull them back. The impression I got when people were, even during elections, you know, all they talk about is, oh, we're going to get this, we're going to get this, you know, we're this rich. Yeah. But someday, you know, the international monetary system could collapse. And that $1.8 billion that people like my tribe has, it's going to be just a pile of paper.
Mm.
And I've heard people say, you know, the power of this one guy kept saying, oh, yeah, I gave this much offerings, I gave this much, and I gave this much. I remember this one guy said, well, I couldn't give much, but I gave what I had.
Mm.
He said, but I don't look at how much money it is, he said. What I look at is, these prayers are going to last me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
They'll always be there for me. And I've dealt with elders who say the same thing. Blankets wear out, horses get old and die. Money you spend. Tobacco, well, I don't smoke, so I give it away.
Mm.
I offer it, you know, do all these things. But the prayers will last me for the rest of my life. That's a worldview. And some of these guys don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see more and more immersion schools, like what Bikani did, Amskabi Bikani did with the Cutswood School.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it bring second language learners to the point of almost first language speakers.
Yep.
And now they're teaching it, right? And
yep.
I mean, that's the only way. From another elder, I heard of that. Enche told me, he said, the only way we're going to learn it is in the home. If you know something in the home, don't ever say it in English.
Yep.
Say it in the home, say it in our language.
Well, you know, when I first went to school, residential school, I didn't speak English. I only spoke Black.
Mm.
My grandparents didn't speak English. My grandmother was hidden from the missionaries in the early 1900s. So she never went to school. My grandfather did, but he told me all they did was work. But he could read and write.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at home, I never heard any English. I didn't even know what English was.
Mm.
Growing up, I remember you could count on one hand our peers that didn't speak Blackfoot.
Mm.
And even smaller percentage, maybe one figure on one hand, where these ones didn't speak or understand. And that's why I think language work, immersion schools, that's what's going to work for us. But not going with that white concept, that Indian Affairs concept of, well, if this person is going to be teaching the black language, he has to have a piece of paper that says he's an expert.
Mm.
It's sort of like when I applied for a job years ago with, when I first got out of policing, I applied for a job with the cultural department. And I got a nice little form letter saying, you failed to meet the academic requirements for this job. The guy they hired at the time, he didn't last very long. He asked me about what I know about black culture. I said, well, I was in the horns. I owned about 12 bundles, you know, beaver bundle, medicine pipe. I've been part of all of that. I grew up with it. I'm an elder for the Mobutu Geeks. I do all these different things. And then, they asked me, so how's your knowledge of the Blackfoot language? And I said, I probably speak it better than anybody in here. Because most of the people interviewing me couldn't speak Blackfoot.
Mm-hmm.
One guy said, I don't think so. I said, well, I was raised by my grandparents. Mm-hmm. They didn't speak English. What do you know about Blackfoot culture? Was that from a horn society? I owned other bundles? I said, I grew up in ceremony. And I know all the plants and their names. So, yeah, I think I know a little bit. But anyways, I get this. So I go back to university. I took my International Indigenous Studies at the University of Calgary. And I remember my professor taking me aside one day. I thought I was in trouble. I had a meeting with him. And the first thing he asked me is, why are you in my class? And again, I took it as a negative. I said, because I need it. He said, well, he said, don't be offended. He said, but I don't think you need to be in this class. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you could teach it. And then he said, so, you know, why are you in this class? I said, well, I applied for a job working in culture on my reserve.
Mm.
And they gave me a nice little form letter that said, I need a piece of paper from a recognized white institute that says I'm an expert in black culture. And he rolled his eyes. So colonial thinking and colonization has permeated every aspect of our people. And even Blackfoot speakers, they need to decolonize.
Mm-hmm.
They need to more or less go through gotta cleanse that, the whitewashing, and cleanse it off of them so that they can start thinking and appreciating who we are.
That was Elder Rod Scout, who was born on the Blood Reserve in 1959 and raised by his grandparents who spoke only Blackfoot, immersed from childhood in our people's language, ceremonies, and teachings. He grew up grounded in a deep respect for the land and the traditional way of knowing. If you want to know more about the Blackfoot language, check out the Ukki Language Project with me. Next time on Words and Culture, I'm handing the talking stick over to Shaneen Robinson, who will take us into Gitxsan country. Before I go, I want to leave you with the song by The North Sound. They are a husband and wife duo led by Blackfoot singer Forrest Eagle Speaker. His wife is Nevada. This is Better Days. I'm Eugene Braverock. G'day, Agadamatsin.
I hit the ground running. I've been to hell and back. I've had my loved ones taken and I feel my spirit crack. I tried to find salvation in crowded rowdy rooms. Smiling through the pain and washed my sorrows down with booze. And I don't sure what changed. When the devil comes a knocking, I turn the other way. And I'm doing better these days. Never thought I'd ever make it to see this age. Through the fire and through the rain, felt the same old way. Enough is enough, gotta get back back up and hold on to see those better days. I climbed the highest mountain and fought a raging sea. I tried to lose myself but couldn't get away from me. I've got a lovely family and I made lots of mistakes, but I've turned around since yesterday, so I'm innocent today. And I don't know what happened or why I'm still around, but I guess some of us just need to get lost before we're found. Get back up and hold on to see those better days. Oh. And we all want the answers and we all want them now. Only time will tell, and that's okay. Time will tell, and that's okay. I'm doing better these days.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Amia.
Yami.
Halakasla.
Gitaya kitamat nukhwa. We'll see you later.
This is Bird Note. When Juan Pablo Collazo goes to spend time outside, he often encounters people thinking he doesn't belong out there as a blind person, despite the fact that he's a renowned nature recordist.
We need to change the culture and the behavior of people to really understand that blind people can go outside and enjoy nature like whatever person.
Juan Pablo helped design nature trails in Colombia with features that make them more accessible for people who are visually impaired, including guide ropes with textures that signal points of interest and QR codes that provide info. But Juan Pablo says these are not simply trails solely for blind people to enjoy.
It's for blind people, of course, but it's for all, because we need to share the same places in society, make places exclusively for blind people or whatever other disability. In my opinion, it's an exclusion. All these things are for everyone, for older people, for children, pregnant, people that broke a leg and is temporarily disabled. So many people decide for us, no, he can't walk on this trail because the trail, there are a lot of branches in the floor. Ask first, never decide for us. And the second thing is, do nothing to us without us.
For Bird Note, I'm Jonice Franklin.
We're from the Kiwassa Preteen Spring Camp. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
Cego.
Bougie.